Welcome to the Forward Marketing Podcast, the podcast that covers internet marketing strategies and leadership tactics to move your business forward with your host, Joshua Jarvis. Welcome back to Forward Marketing. That's the number 4 RD Marketing Podcast. Again, this is Joshua Jarvis, and I've just been so excited to be covering all these different topics with you guys, particularly last week's episode where we interviewed a real-life growth hacker. If you remember way back a few episodes ago, we covered the intro into what is growth hacking, and to have someone there actually telling you, giving you tips that frankly weren't sort of revolutionary or blow you away, but still great tips nonetheless. I think it was just a lot of fun to have him here. So today's episode may be my second favorite, or maybe still be my favorite. I think every episode may end up being my favorite, but except for maybe that business metrics episode where we covered business metrics, because I'm not really into that. But you do have to be if you want to be good at your job. So, I mean, if you want to be a good leader, I mean, a good business owner, then you're going to have to know how to measure success. Anyway, let's get into today, because today's episode is going to be quite a treat. I know in the years of me running businesses and being part of consulting that leadership is probably the one thing that has given me the most, I've grown the most personally, and then the business has grown the most whenever I focus on leadership. Lead generation is great to generate leads, but growing yourself. But then also like with that sort of business mindset. So it's maybe a little self-helpy, but not enough. And what I'd like to say is that, growth hacking or lead generation, that grows your profits. Leadership grows your progress. And so I am super excited today to talk to someone that has helped me grow in many different ways in leadership. And his name is Dr. Rob McClelland. And Dr. Rob has a PhD in organizational leadership. And I think a lot of times when we talk about leadership, people get this leadership guru. They think of sort of the cheesy motivational stuff. And like, I like Jack Canfield, but that's the image I get, is stuff that maybe gets you motivated for a few weeks, but doesn't have a lasting impact. And the stuff that Dr. Rob does has a lasting impact because he gives you actionable items. So if you ever, if you can't wait to actually hear the interview, then head on over to leadertribe.com and you'll actually get to hear him. But Dr. Rob has been doing this for 25 years. He's led a college campus, a medical foundation in Silicon Valley, and an international hospital with locations all over the globe. In fact, John Maxwell even recruited him to lead Equip. And Equip is John Maxwell's nonprofit arm. And if you talk to Rob, he's very clear. Like, he just oozes leadership information. Not leadership guru stuff, actionable organizational leadership stuff. Like, it's talking to someone who basically could write for Harvard Business Review, or talking to someone who loves like Patrick Lencioni type books, because he does love Patrick Lencioni. And but if you talk to him, you know, he says he'll tell you straight up that he's going to spend the rest of his life studying and researching leadership and making it available daily for young leaders and everyone he comes in contact with. And that's why he started LeaderTribe.com. On the personal side, Dr. Rob, he affectionately likes to be called Robster by his friends. And for whatever reason, I think I'm a little too uptight to do that. But he is married to a wonderful wife named Dawn, and they've been married for 30 years. That in and of itself is worth a hand clap. And he has one daughter and two grandchildren. So Grandpa Rob is going to be our interview today. And like I said, again, I am excited about this. We went a little bit long, and so today's episode is a little bit longer than normal, but I think you will enjoy it. So let's take a listen to my interview with Dr. Rob McClelland. Hey guys, and you just heard me tell everyone about Rob and how great he is and what a good friend, but also a mentor. And leadership has just made such an impact on my life. I just felt like, you know, after all these months of going over lead generation, that we really should focus on leadership, because this is probably going to make a bigger impact on your business than any of the lead generation tips I'm going to give you. And so as you heard all of those lists of things about Rob, I thought maybe it'd be better if he told you from his perspective what his story is. So So Rob, why don't you take that away?
Love to. And thanks again, Joshua, for the chance to, anytime spending with you, I enjoy, but to spend with your listeners, it's a great joy for me. Look forward to doing that. Actually, my story started a long time ago. I'm 57 years old, but I had a really, really, really poor childhood. My mom was married and divorced 4 times by the time I was in 6th grade. All the abuses and things that you would think of going on in a home like that, those all happened, unfortunately, with me and my 2 sisters. But even back then, I didn't think I had a terrible childhood. I mean, that was the only reality I knew at the time. And I still ran around with all the guys in our neighborhood and we played Little League together and football and everything else. And so I had this core group of friends and people who were investing me, specifically some neighbors, when it got really, really rough at our house and most of the neighborhood knew what was going on. They took me in and I got to go start spending time with them. And for the first time, I saw what it was like to actually care for somebody and give them boundaries and begin to speak into their lives in such a way that there were certain things you couldn't do because people cared for you. And I had never really thought about that. I was really sort of on my own as a kid. And now all of a sudden to say, hey, there's certain guidelines, certain things in life that if you will implement these in your life, you're going to get further down the road than if you just are all over the place. And so learning that lesson at an early age, even though it came about from some adverse circumstances, I think was really, really helpful to me. And it's given me the heart that I have now to help younger leaders and people. Some of them had awesome upbringings and great dads and others not so much. But if I can come along and give them 3 or 4 hugs and then a swift kick in the rear in a timely manner, I really, really enjoy that. And to see that I get to do that at the highest levels with some incredible CEOs around the country, that's a great joy for me as well.
So it almost sounds like some of the words that you were using in the beginning sounded a lot like maybe like a family structure. But then you transitioned right into sort of like leadership. Was there a catalyst that brought you into leadership as a sort of a study?
Wow, great question. It really was a transition for me, but it was because of that poor background and then getting some structure and some help in my life that all of a sudden I saw myself really excelling and doing well in some areas, and other people weren't. I was passing up peers who had awesome lives and wonderful families and lots of money, but they weren't accomplishing the things in life. Their grades were terrible and they weren't just making the progress they needed to be. All of a sudden I'd be on a project at school or working on different assignments with people, and they just couldn't get their stuff done and they weren't sure what to do next. I see these people sort of stalling out in life. And so I had taken some of those things that I learned early on, and I was seeing progress on my own life. And so at that point, what you do, anyone who's seeing success in any area says, great, I want to see more. How does that happen? And I began more and more looking at leadership and leadership principles. Specifically back then, it wasn't known as much as leadership. It was more self-management. Some early research by a guy named Christopher Neck at Princeton and others, and the whole idea of self-leadership. But it was, how can you accomplish your goals? How can you get more things done? Productivity. And that really kind of piqued my interest for a long time. Up until my second position, I was working in Spokane, Washington, and I had a boss who was awesome. And every afternoon after lunch, he would stop by my office or I'd stop by his office and we'd ask some question, but it really wasn't a question that we needed answered. It was really more just starting to spend time together. And one or the other of us would say something like, I don't know, sit down, let's talk. And we'd end up talking for a half hour, 45 minutes. And for the first time that I remember, I had somebody in my life who cared enough about me to hold me accountable. And that was really great. All of a sudden, I wanted to excel. I wanted to get better. And I wanted to show somebody else my progress. And so that it sort of went right into that whole mentorship part of my life. And then I began doing that for others over the last 3 decades.
Oh, that's awesome. And I love that. It's actually one of our listener questions was about accountability. So we'll get there in just a second. But as anyone who's listening to this, they know that whenever we do an interview, we always want to have something actionable, something they can actually take away to grow their business. Usually it's a lead generation tactic. But since we have you today, we have just this great opportunity. Really, like I said, I I kid you not, if you guys are listening, the greatest growth I've ever seen in my business is when I started focusing on leadership. It wasn't any marketing tactic. It wasn't anything else I did. It was really when I started just pouring into leadership and then trying to grow that, that I saw the biggest growth. And so I think you will too. And I know that Dr. Rob has something for us today. So what's some sort of actionable tactic that we could do to grow our leadership skills?
Yeah, I'd love to share that. First, just based on your comment, I want to tell you a little story. I have a friend who is actually a pastor of a church and a businessman, but the church he pastors, it's a huge church. And so you'd almost say, well, how could you do both of those? He would say he went into ministry, that was his calling, but then all of a sudden he found himself, his church wasn't growing, he didn't have good leaders, it was all bad, so he thought, forget it. And so he went into the business realm. Once he got in the business realm, he fell in love with leadership books, got some John Maxwell books and some others, Kuzes and Posner, Leadership Challenge, and he began reading these books and implementing these things in his life, and his business took off, he began growing, and then he thought, man, I wish I would have known all this back when I was a pastor. So all of a sudden, it's 10 years later, he's a successful businessman, and he has the opportunity, and he says, well, I want to be a part of a church plant. He goes back into pastoring, and now his church is killing it. And the reason is he's taking leadership principles. And when he grew himself in leadership, that's where he saw the biggest results, both in his business and in the church. And so kudos to you, Joshua, for discovering that. And that's the discovery of many people. Because if you think about it, business principles are business principles. It's those of us who have to try to apply those in the correct way over and over and over, that's really going to make a difference or not make a difference in our lives. And so as far as something that we can do, ultimately what I would say on the business side, whether it's lead generation or wherever you're going on that, is are you truly focused on business results? So often I see guys and I look at their to-do list and they've got a lot of important things to do, but even if they accomplished everything on their to-do list, it wouldn't necessarily grow their business. And so I think you have to, stealing a line from Stephen Covey a long time ago, begin with the end in mind. And if at the end of the day, you want to have more leads that you have generated because of your hard work, then you start with that and then you back out. If that's going to happen, what needs to happen right before that? Well, what needs to happen right before that? Well, then how is that going to deal with the way in which I line out my day today and my own personal agenda? Often, a guy named James Clear, jamesclear.com, great guy as far as habits and the things that it takes to be successful and accomplish your goals. He says, when we get into times where we're procrastinating and not doing the things that we know we need to do, he breaks everything down to what he calls the two-minute rule. He says, the goal is not to get to the finish line, it's to get to the starting line. So whatever that task is that you have to do for lead generation today, what is the first thing that you have to do? Is it to get out your phone and go to your contacts, or is it to look up and find some opportunities that you had to network with others and get that information, whether it's in a file or whether it's you've turned it into something electronic? Break down those tasks into something that takes only 2 minutes or less. And so if you can do that and say, for 2 minutes, I'm going to do this, because most of us can stay motivated for 2 minutes. And so break those down into 2 minutes. Now, all of a sudden, you have that all in front of you, and you can make sure that you're pointed towards business results, not towards busy work.
Nice, nice. And is there, aside from listening to your podcast at leadertribe.com, what's something that they could do to grow just their specific leadership skills? Is it our book, or is it really just what you just said, focus on results?
No, if you are going to make this journey, then I would say you've got to be intentional.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really a matter of the heart to begin with, that leadership growth, you could read 10 leadership books in the next 10 months and at the end of the year not be a better leader. You'd be a smarter leader, but not necessarily a better leader. Mm. There's a difference between getting the knowledge and then actually doing what it takes. And that doing what it takes is where the opportunity lies. There are so many people out there who are far more knowledgeable than you and I could ever hope to be, but they don't see the results that we see. And the reason is because they're not applying that in their lives. A lot of times people say, knowledge is power. And I say, bull. I'll throw the bull card on that one every time. knowledge is not power. It's the application of the correct knowledge that's power at the correct time.
That's so good.
And so if you are going to say, you know what, I do want to grow myself as a leader. I want to begin that journey. I would say, you know what, then block out a half hour and grab a piece of paper and sit down and just begin to say, why do I want to grow as a leader? What do I think would be, what am I willing to get rid of in my current schedule in order to make time for that? And then what resources should I begin with and where should I start? If I had to recommend only one resource to start, I mean, this is the easiest read you could ever find. The book's at least 10 years old. It's large fonts and a lot of space in between. And it's still one of the most awesome books I've ever seen. And it's called A Leader's Legacy. And as a matter of fact, Joshua, for you and your listeners, I will send you a three-page book summary of that and a 10-page book summary of that, that when they check in with you, you can send that book summary to them. But it's just a very small book with real-life stories. But all of the stories come from research to help you begin to make the right initial steps in order to really have a fulfilling lifelong journey towards becoming a better leader.
That's awesome. So I know that you consult with some bigger corporations. And, you know, when you go in, you've told me this before that you'll go in and, you know, their profits have increased and all of that. And I'm just wondering, like, what are you doing specifically? Like, is there something that you could do? Like, if there's someone listening now and they're running either a small business or a mid-sized business or, you know, whatever, how could they be more productive? What could they do? Like, in lieu of hiring you, obviously that would be probably the best choice, but if they couldn't do that, what would they do?
Mm-hmm. Well, and if they're a small business, they probably can't afford me because I'm really more geared towards working with C-suite professionals and that's a big price tag. However, what I do even in my coaching and individual coaching is when I go in, I'm really interested in what I would call organizational alignment. And so what I talked to the owner about is I said, okay, tell me your business results in the last 6 months. How's that going? Were those better or worse than the 6 months before that? What are the two or three things that are really holding you back right now in your opinion? And then where are you and your team? Are you in 100% alignment? You all know exactly. Your focus is the same. You know exactly the issues are going to take you to the next step and you're all working on them. Or do you not have that kind of laser-like focus? Well, by the end of that first original half-hour interview, my goal is to not make the person feel horrible because they realize they don't have some of those, the correct answers on those. But what I do is I come in and I interview, usually in the company, if it's a larger company, the top 20 or 30 employees. And I go through a series of six questions that I've developed over the last 30 years. The interview only takes about a half hour. But let me give you the very first question. And this is what I would encourage even your small business owners or solopreneurs to answer. Very first question that I ask them is this: what are the one or two things that you, in your area of responsibility, that you have to accomplish? I mean, they're the most important things. And that if you don't accomplish those two things, then all of the other meetings and marketing and everything else really isn't worth it. It really doesn't even matter. What are the one or two things that just have to happen? For example, if you're talking about somebody in lead generation or in sales, and in sales, it's not with existing customers, they have to be finding new customers or they're not going to have a job, then you have to be filling the top of your funnel with new customers. If that doesn't happen, it doesn't matter how many meetings you go to or how many speeches you give, you ultimately aren't going to make it. And so what are those one or two things that absolutely have to happen? Even with CEOs, they'll give me a list of, well, here's our 9 parts of our strategic plan. And I say, thank you so much. And I turn it upside down on their desk and I say, we're not talking about that right now. I'm looking you in the eye and I'm saying, what are the one or two things in your life that have to happen or all the other stuff isn't going to be worth it? And at the CEO level, they'll usually say, I have to concentrate on the things that only I can do and I have to make sure our team has the correct alignment. And then I'll say, how are you doing on those two things? And they will say things along the lines of, not as good as I'd like because I'm so busy. So what we quickly learned is that people are busy on things that are not the most important things. Welcome to life. Welcome to leadership. That's all of us. That's the temptation that every one of us deal with every day. And so for me, going in and asking that very first question is, what are the one or two things? And then the second question, the one that I follow up with on that is, of those one or two areas, are you measuring those in a meaningful way so that you know what the results are every day? So it's almost a personal dashboard. And then I go into some meaning questions. Ultimately, the question I get to that is the championship question. It sets the way that it sets apart the true champions from the sort of also ran. Is this question: is there any area where you need to receive more clarity or to be more empowered? And just think about that. If I'm a vice president in the company, and the president asks me, "Hey, Rob, is there any area right now that you need to receive more clarity, or you feel like you need to be more empowered?" That is a huge question. I mean, here's my boss asking me, are there things that you want to do, but you don't think you have the right to do them right now? Because the reason that that's such a great question is the people who answer no to that question are the true champions. Think about that just for a moment. If someone comes to you and says, is there any area you need more clarity or to be more empowered? And I go, well, let me think. No. What that means is I've got all the clarity and empowerment that I need. That means I was proactive. I went out there and I found what I needed to find out. I got the information I needed for me to be successful. Proactive employees, proactive business owners win the world, and the others are also wins.
Well, that actually brings me to a question. We've got some listener questions, but one of the ones that kind of came up as you were talking was, what would you do in a situation where you have an employee and it seems like a great employee, and they do say that they don't have the clarity, or maybe they have the clarity, but they don't have, they don't feel like they have the empowerment. I'm going to try to work this out in my mind. It's almost like, I feel like there's going to be an answer coming, and I'm like, I'm going to try to guess. And I feel like, if they say have a lack of empowerment, is it it's their responsibility really to go to the leader in the first place to make sure that they have the empowerment to do that? Is that why the answer should always be no? Like when you said the answer should always be no, like the light bulb's going off my head.
No, I would say less than 1 in 10 employees that I've interviewed, the answer was no. But the ones who did answer no, they were absolute championship caliber employees. And so what I mean by that is the answer should be no, because every employee should always be proactive. The only problem is they're not. There's one company that's gone up over 300% in the stock market in the last 10 years, and it's a production company. And it's somebody that what they've done is their CEO has every new employee sign a statement that says, if I need information in this company, it's my job to go get the information, not somebody's in job to give me the information. If I have an idea in this company, it's my job to make sure I'm getting that idea out there, not waiting for somebody else to come and ask me. And he has these 4 or 5 statements that are all proactive that are unbelievable. I mean, it's built the whole culture around this company that continues to make innovative changes when they have an old school product. And that product is WD-40. Look at WD-40. I mean, they are continuing to kill it. Remember in the old school days, you get the can of WD-40 and there's this little like red tube that's taped to the side of the can, and you try to put it in there and you're spraying yourself while you do it, but then you could spray the hinges. Go look at their cans now. See what they're doing now. They're gaining market share everywhere around the world. They're doing it for less costs. They have less employees, but their employees have to be proactive or you're not going to make it in that culture. So that's really what you're going for. I lead several teams. One of the teams that I lead here in Atlanta for one of the little organizations that I work with, on my team, I want to empower every one of those people. So I'm always being proactive, trying to empower them. But then I'm also asking them that question. Is there an area where you need to be more empowered? And what I'll usually hear is no, 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 no. And then all of a sudden, hey, I've been thinking about something. And I'm like, okay, we've got a winner. Knowing that they can get empowered, about every 2 months, somebody comes up with some crazy idea, something that they'd like to be worked on, that they would like to work on. And now they're coming up and they're saying, may I be empowered to try this pilot project, something like that. And I want to do everything within my power as the CEO to ensure that the answer is going to be yes.
Wow. So really, when we're in a situation, even if we're in the marketplace and employee and our sort of coworkers, if you will, are complaining about a lack of clarity or lack of empowerment, it's not the culture of the company's problem. It's actually the individual's problem for not going and seeking clarity or seeking empowerment. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
I would say it's the boss's problem, not the employee's problem, because the boss hasn't set that as an expectation. And then, you know, it's really easy to talk a big game and to say, hey, here's my expectation. I want to empower you. I want to do it. And then the first time the employee comes along, you go, yeah, no, we really don't do that here, but thanks anyway. Mm-hmm. And you shut them down. I mean, that doesn't help anybody.
Okay.
And so I think as the boss, it's my job to make sure I'm asking, do you have the clarity? Do you feel empowered? Do you understand exactly what business results are expected of you? Do you understand that if you're not meeting those results, and I have to find out about it through some other way, that's not a good day for you. But the day that you come to me and you say, hey, here's exactly what I'm doing. I'm not seeing the business results we had hoped for. Can I get some help on this? That's a great day for me, because now you're being proactive and I know I can trust you because you have the best of the company in mind, not just trying to protect yourself.
Nice. So that really leads into that. And maybe you kind of already answered it, but one of the listeners asked us, how do you hold someone accountable when they continue to miss the mark? They're doing everything. You know, if you were to read the whole thing that I was sent, basically this employee is doing everything they need to do to put on a good show, but they keep almost like the sales example you gave. They're really, really busy and they're great for the team, but they just continue to fail to miss the mark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, then at that point you have to have what I would call a come to Jesus party, where you sit down with them and you say, hey, we've got an issue here. And the issue is either with our expectations or it's with your performance or a combination of both. I'm not really sure. And so what I want to do is just make sure that you and I have the exact same understanding. Patrick Lencioni, in his most recent book, really talks about this a lot. He said he doesn't want an employee and an employer to ever have a conversation where they don't already know the results of that conversation. And that's because so often as a boss, what I'll do is I might be talking to you, Joshua, and I'll say, yeah, I really don't like that guy. I don't know what's going on. You know what? I think I'm gonna have to replace him this year. And then you could ask a really legit question, goes, well, does he know that you don't like him and you're thinking about replacing him? What is it that you don't like? And so what's happened is he and I have different expectations. This employee I have, he's trying to do work in one area. I'm expecting something different. What if we had the exact same expectations? He knew what the expectations were. He knew what the projected results should be, and that we're on the same page there. If he meets those results, he knows that we'll both be happy. And so Lencioni's book really takes it down to what is it that the employee needs, what is it the employer needs, and then how can we bring those two things together? And that's some of the corporate training that I do. I just find it liberating more to the bosses than to the employees, actually, because now they don't have to dread the year-end review of people because they know that they can get on the same page. On the accountability question, just getting right back to that, it seems like a great guy and their results, their efforts seem good, but the results aren't there. And that's what we see often. And so I think a lot of times what we see is the employee giving their spin on the efforts or their version of the efforts rather than what our expectations are on the experts. Real quick story on that. I had a guy named Lawrence Sanders who worked for me in a company I ran in Washington, D.C. And Lawrence, I love this brother. Great guy. Yet he had a different understanding than I did on how to do his job. And so we finally came to this big brouhaha. We're duking it out with each other. There's a lot of love between us. But I said, okay, Lawrence, here's the bottom line. If you try it my way and you fail, then we realize that my way didn't work and then we'll go find something else. If you say, I don't want to do it your way, I want to do it my way. And then if you fail, then you lose your job. Because you're saying, I know a better way. I'm not going to do it your way. And then if your way fails, then I've got nothing. And I said, are you sure you still want to go your direction? And he said, yes, I am. And he went his direction. And we said, okay, then you're going on 3 months probation as of today. and I hope this is going to work fantastic. I said, but we're not going to wait 3 months. Let's have a every other week update. By the third meeting that we had, he said, yeah, this isn't going to go well, and I need to go find something else. And I actually started crying because I liked the guy so much. And so here's Mr. Cool CEO crying. And I said, yeah, you're right. This isn't going to work. And so you need to find someplace else. So I didn't back down. I didn't say, now will you try it my way? But he was such a strong guy that he always believed his way was going to be best. And I loved the guy, but that just wasn't working. And so having that type of accountability, and if you have love for your employees, it makes it a lot better.
Well, I got another question from someone. A lot of the people in the online space, particularly like online marketing and those kind of jobs, they don't work together. They work remotely. In fact, a lot of them, none of them have, they all work out of their like home office or sort of a communal space, but they're not physically present with each other. You know, how do those teams sort of build trust and build a great culture, or is that even possible?
No, it is possible. I would encourage your listeners to Google, put in HBR for Harvard Business Review, HBR blog, remote employees culture. And you'll see two or three really good articles on that. They're things that I've touched on in the past on some of the blogs on my site at leadertribe.com. But when you've got remote employees, here's the thing that you have to do. If I have a remote employee and I don't see results, then I think the person isn't working that hard. And now that's not fair. Maybe they're working super hard, but I always just, I want to equate results with hard work. And so Patrick Lencioni is really good on this. He says, what is it? The something attribution theory. I'm sorry, I can't remember the first name of it right now. But he says, if I'm not doing very well in my area, then I'm usually going to blame that on the environment somehow. Well, you know, we just didn't really have the right product. We didn't have the right place. It's not my fault. But if things go really well, then it's because of my efforts. And then we project that on other people. If they happen to be doing really well, then we say, well, hey, they just got some good clients. They were lucky. But if they're not doing very well, then we tend to think it's because they're not putting in the right effort. That is human psychology. That's how it works. And so I want to talk to my remote team about that and say it's really easy for us to project these things on each other. And so what's the culture that we're going to agree on that we're just going to really bring it with each other? I think it's a privilege to work remotely, but along with that privilege comes some responsibility of making sure my communication is over and above where it should be if I was working just in a face-to-face situation. For example, I would want everyone on my remote teams to answer a couple of questions every day. I mean, every week, once a week, that they turn in with their report where everyone else can see their answers. And one of those questions would be along the lines of, do I believe I received all the support that I need to be successful this week, or the support and the resources? And if they're saying, no, I don't believe I received that, I want everybody else to say that and say, well, why not? What did you need? So let's take away our excuses and just give us the opportunity to shine. And so I think when you can build that kind of accountability, but it's got to be much more intentional.
We always ask every person we interview, because I think we learn from mistakes. I think we learn from our failures. And so, Dr. Rob, what's one of the biggest mistakes that you've made, and maybe a sort of a life lesson that you've learned from that mistake? And it can be business, or it can be, you know, your own personal life. Because like I said, there's a ton to learn, I think, from mistakes.
Yeah, I think I'll give you one business and personal. I'll start with the personal. Personal always comes back to character. And I think I've been in a couple of positions where the responsibilities of the position outweighed my character. Here's the problem. People see your skills and gifts and abilities on the outside, but they don't see what's really going on the inside. And so if I've got character flaws, when people, I love it when they ask questions like strengths and weaknesses. And I say, weaknesses, that's a good question. Do you mean weaknesses like in a non-skilled area, something I'm not very good at, or weaknesses sort of like character flaws or internal things where areas where I really need to get better? And they always kind of sit there with their mouth open and go like, both. And so I think what we'd really like to know is the character flaws. We just don't have enough vulnerability to get there. And again, another reason why I love Five Dysfunctions of a Team and the Advantage in some of Lencioni's work, because he talks about vulnerability-based trust is the most important one quality that you can have towards the success of your long-term business. And so if I trust each other and other people trust me, and certainly I was in a place where I had running an organization, and it continued to grow and grow and grow and grow quickly. And so I just kept doing what I was good at, except I had to ramp it up. I had to go 2x, then 5x, then 10x. I'm giving all this effort. I'm burning out at the same time. I'm not caring about my family as much. I'm getting short with people. I think I know it all because I'm being super successful. And so why are you questioning me? And so there's this element of pride and everything else that got in there to this to the point where I just thought, why don't these people just need to get to the level where I'm at? They need to grow more. And anytime you start hearing in your internal conversation saying these people, that's a huge warning sign. And so that came crashing down for me. That was really hard. And I kind of went through some dark night of the soul. That was 20 years ago. My wife would say right away it was the best thing that ever happened to me. I wasn't able to say that for 3 or 4 years till I got through the pain and got some good counseling. Now I would definitely say best thing that ever happened to me. Why? Because it's not about me. It's about me and the team and my family and living in the holistic sense of accomplishing something great together. And so that's on the personal side. Best on the business side, as far as something where I've learned from a failure. When I went in and took over a business, I thought that the vision, the new vision for that business began with me. I mean, I got here. Okay, let's get everybody together. Let's get the VPs. Let's talk to the board. What's the vision for our business? Where are we going in the future? And it almost was starting from that day. What I hadn't realized is, hey, that business has been around for 40 years. And some people had some hopes and the dreams way back in the past. And those people with hopes and dreams had given it their best efforts. And sometimes they were under-resourced. Sometimes they had bad leadership. But some of their efforts had failed. And now I'm coming in and saying, hey, no more of those bad results from the past. It's all going to be about the future and the great results we're going to get. And what I did is I alienated everybody who had come behind me, because I was almost saying their efforts were a failure and now mine were going to be a success. Now, I come in with this passion and this hope, and I wasn't thinking that way, but that's how it was received. And so what I learned after a couple of false starts is to, when I get into a business, I'm not the founder of the business, I want to go back and say, who's been around here the longest? Who retired before that? Hey, tell me about the hopes and dreams. What were you hoping to accomplish that you didn't? Best case scenario, and you start having those conversations and you start hearing some themes and some patterns of things that have gotten in the way. And it's so informational. It's so good for you strategically just to get that information. But now all of a sudden I can go back to them and say, hey, what if those hopes and dreams are going to be fulfilled in the future? It just wasn't the right timing back then. Could you get on board with me on this, and could you encourage some people? And all of a sudden we're all in this together, and then we see something great going forward. Because guess what? The vision didn't start with me. My tenure started with me, but I need to make sure that I am rallying the people who have been there and given efforts over the long period.
We're wrapping up here, and I got one final question for you. And what would you say, just in your experience, you've had just enough, a lot of experience with sort of young leaders, business owners. What would be the biggest mistake that you see?
Yeah, I'd go back tangentially to one of the things I mentioned earlier, and that is not focusing on the business results. If you'll look at the pyramid that's established in the work, The Advantage or Five Dysfunctions of a Team, what you see at the very top of the pyramid is business results. And so right below that, you have accountability. Accountability towards what? Accountability, peer-to-peer accountability to make sure we're achieving those business results. But we don't have good accountability. Why not? Because we weren't able to make a good commitment. And you weren't able to make a good commitment because you didn't have the healthy conflict that was needed to really get to the base issues. Why didn't you have the healthy conflict you needed? Because there wasn't vulnerability-based trust. So that went from the top of the pyramid back down. Quickly, I want to go right back out. If we can have the vulnerability-based trust, if I can say, hey, Joshua, I need help here. I'm not very good in this area. I suck at it. And I keep trying the same things and it still doesn't work. Can you help me here? All of a sudden you go like, yeah, yeah, sure, I'll help you. And but you trust me now. You know I'm not going to try to blow smoke. I'm going to tell you the truth if I'm being that vulnerable. So now that we can have some vulnerability-based trust, now when we get into a disagreement, it's really healthy conflict where you say, yeah, Rob, stop doing this. I'm like, no, that's good. It's this part. And we can duke it out back and forth because we trust each other. We can have that healthy conflict. And after we have the healthy conflict, now we can know exactly what we're committed to. Why? Because there's no more parking lot conversations. We've made a commitment to what? A commitment towards the results that we want to get and what we're going to do to get there. And now you can have the accountability, the step just above that, peer-to-peer accountability, and ultimately achieve those business results. And so you can work yourself up and down that same pyramid over and over again. The mistake I see a lot of people doing is that they're not focused on, during their daily activities, are focused on busyness, not on ultimately what's going to get them their business results.
Right. And almost throughout this whole interview, just reminding me of we tend to focus on what's urgent, but not necessarily important.
Absolutely true. Great point.
And filling our day with that. So, well, how can our listeners find you? I know that I've been enjoying your Leader Tribe podcast and I've known about you for a little while. So I've been enjoying a lot of your content. But how can someone who's maybe just heard you for the first time, how can they reach out to you, learn more about what you're doing?
So a couple of years ago, I started a blog called Leader Tribe and saw some pretty good success with it. And I'm very thankful for that. In the same time, I was supposed to launch some other things like a podcast and some products. And Joshua knows better than anyone else. I drug my feet on that forever. And so you can say, hey, Rob, teach yourself on some of the stuff you just talked about, because I have been there where I'm supposed to see some results and I just did not get it done. Now, I've got all the great excuses I need. I was working with some fabulous companies, doing some consultant, holding down two or three jobs, but I didn't get it done. Finally, a little less than a month ago, I launched the podcast. It's a daily. It's called Your Daily Dose of Growth. Everything in it is researched, relevant, ready for action. They're short episodes. The longest one yet's been 9 minutes. And so it would mean the world to me if you, as one of Joshua's listeners, would jump over, go on iTunes, find the Leader Tribe podcast. When you're looking down through some of those, it's the one that's a sort of a yellow icon with dots on it. And you'll see it very clearly. It says Leader Tribe. Listen to one of those and subscribe, leave a rating on iTunes, and then here's what you're going to get every single day in your email box, Monday through Thursday, short episode on something that's fun, a little bit crazy, but it's based on the research, and there's at least one application point every day. And then on Friday, if you don't want to listen to the short podcast during the week, on Friday we put Monday through Thursday together into a longer half-hour podcast. So you can reach me over at leadertribe.com or drop me an email anytime at rob@leadertribe.com. And I'd love to connect with you.
And guys, I know that, you know, we do that at the end of every episode, but I have to encourage you guys to really check it out. You know, I'm really passionate about having actionable items, not just sort of this, nebulous sort of advice that's like, it feels good, maybe it motivates you, but it doesn't actually give you something to do. Rob is one of the first people I've ever met that's able to take something that you can read that seems like a great idea and actually give you something that's actionable that you can actually digest. So I so appreciate you coming on today, Rob, and I look forward to maybe doing this again.
I would look forward to it as well. Again, Joshua, thanks for your influence in my life, for our friendship, and anything I can do to serve you, count me in.
What did I tell you? I told you that this guy oozes leadership information, stuff that you can actually use, and he's a great storyteller too, by the way, if you didn't notice. So we'll have all of Dr. Rob McClelland's information on our website as a show notes on forwardmarketing.com/podcast. And on the show notes, there'll also be a link for you to be able to download the resource that he promised. That's the 3- and 10-page summary of Leadership Legacy, the book that he recommended as a starting point if you know you want to grow your leadership. And then also you can visit him online at leadertribe.com. and connect with him there. And if you need anything, you can always email me at joshua@fordmarketing.com. I'd love to get feedback. Would you like more leadership based podcasts? Would you like us to talk more about organizational leadership, personal leadership, any of that kind of stuff? Or do you have a request for a digital marketing tactic that you would like to cover in an upcoming episode? Would love to do that for you. So we've run a little bit long, so I'm going to cut it short today. So thanks so much for listening, and you can catch us next time on the Ford Marketing Podcast.